Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This morning, the Fredericksburg Area Museum is our focus. Dr. Gayla Sims here, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. It never gets old saying that.
Thank you, Ted.
It's good to have you here this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
And we welcome for the first time, and we need to get to know, Kylie Thompson. And I only wrote half your title down for some reason. I wrote curatorial.
Curatorial specialist.
Okay, I didn't write specialist.
Let's just call her curatorial.
I know that's...
Honestly, that encompasses it all.
It does.
You just call today.
That's kind of what you do. I have wanted to meet you for a long time and do some videos with you, which will come soon. You led one of the more interesting programs, I think, that I have seen in quite some time anywhere around here recently.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I take it you're referring to At Home Archivists?
I am, because so many of us deal with pictures or just taking care of artifacts in our family. And there's so much of that around here, and that's what you do. So I figured you were a wealth of information.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's my day-to-day. And I always tell people that, so we have over 3,000 objects in our collection. And I tell people, it's like having to take care of a bunch of toddlers. They always, and when I say they, I mean the objects, they always need something. So there's always care that needs to be taken. The light's too bright. The humidity's off in here. Something's falling apart.
Right.
And so just to be able to share that with everyone else who I know is going through this at home. You have a box of stuff. You have things passed down for generations that you're like, what do I do with this? Am I doing this right? Why not share the information?
Pictures are such a big deal of how to take care of pictures, because the way they were taken care of initially is never the right way.
Oh my gosh, for sure. And pictures are what people have the most of. And I always joke that archiving was invented in the 70s. And so for so long, we're like, just glue them into an album.
Yep.
They'll be fine. They'll be there forever. Mm-hmm. Well, glue is dangerous. Glue eats away at the back of those photographs because there's so many chemical interactions going on. So now today, when you take those out, you're having to reverse decades of damage if you can.
If you can. Yeah. So don't do that. And then in the, probably was it the 80s and 90s, when you would get the books and you would pull back the see-through sheet and put them under this, it was kind of like a sticky surface where you would put a picture on.
Yeah. And at the time, we thought that was safe because we weren't gluing them on.
We were
using this static adhesive. Well, there's chemicals in that static adhesive. So if you actually take out one of those albums right now, more than likely, the edges of those pages are going to be yellow. And that is chemical reactions happening. And that's eventually going to get to those photos. And it's going to cause them to warp. It's going to cause them to discolor and all of that. So the best thing you can do, take them out of the album, get a nice, best case scenario, archival safe box, but get them out of sunlight, get them in a dark place, and just kind of make sure that they are, you know, stacked nicely, they're not folded, anything like that, and digitize them if you can. That is always the best thing you can do.
I was just going to say, digitizing would seem to be the thing to do, and then you can figure out what to do after.
Because at this moment is always the best condition they're going to be in. So tomorrow they're going to, each day it's going to not, it doesn't get worse that fast, but you kind of get the idea as things degrade. And so you don't need big fancy technology to scan things. You can, of course, send them off to companies. Some libraries have scanners available, but use your phone. Phones are so good now that you can just take those scans and save them. Because one day you may decide like, oh, I wish I had kept that one picture. I think I know who that is now. So you just do whatever you can. And that's always the best thing you can do is whatever you can do.
So my sister's a photo historian, and she told me that a good thing to do is write very lightly on the back in pencil where the picture is taken and when, and if I know any of the people in it. How does that sound, Kylie?
That I 100% agree because there are agents, something called agents of deterioration in archiving. And what that is are all these different factors that contribute to degradation in objects. Mm-hmm. And one of those is neglect. And what neglect is not conveying information.
We need that.
You are actually, quote unquote, doing damage to the object by not taking those notes. Mm. So if you can, do it. And I know I personally have photos that I have no idea who the people are. There's nothing I can do. So you're not being neglectful if you can't do it. But
we can try.
Yeah.
So that answered my question. And I had told you that I've got a stack of pictures from when my father was growing up. And I just have no idea. I don't know what to do with them. And you said digitize them. Someday maybe somebody will know, or you'll run into somebody who might be able to answer your questions.
Oh, yeah. And at the museum, most of our albums, we don't know who these people are. When we do find some with names, we get so excited.
Yeah.
It's a game changer. But they're still very important to us because we're able to look at the fashion. We're able to look at what is going on around them. So many of them have buildings in the background that are no longer there. So just because we don't know the people doesn't mean they don't tell a story.
I love that.
Oh, that is. That is really interesting. Just the scenery around it.
Mm-hmm. She's
is
cool,
so
right,
good. Yeah, very cool. We have so much more to talk about and do in the months ahead. How did you get interested in doing this kind of thing?
Oh gosh, I have loved history all my life, and I originally went to school for music because I thought that was what I meant to do. That's what I knew. But history was always there. And so throughout my life, I've always done my family genealogy and such. And after undergrad, I kind of ended up in like digital marketing. And one day I said, how did I get here? I never intended to get here.
Yeah.
And so I went back to school and I wanted to pursue archiving and museum studies and such because I had my grandfather's items from World War II that he gave me, and they always sat on a shelf. And I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. And the more I got into it, the more I loved it. And I wish I had a better phrase, but it's such a pun. The rest is history. And here we are.
It's still a good phrase. It works. You look back and look at all the pictures that we have that have been taken through all the years and how that has all changed now. With phones, because I don't know sometimes what to do. I guess just with all the pictures I have on my phone, put it on an external drive or the cloud or something. Because I just feel like somewhere these pictures are going to get lost or deleted or the phone is going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and it's so tough with digital media and all this modern technology because we're still trying to figure it out, especially in the field, because there's so much data being created every day. Like, do I need 600 pictures of my cat? Yes, but future historians might say no.
You just told a lot about yourself.
Yes. No shame there. But yeah, so digital files are susceptible to being lost, believe it or not. So especially, like, take a look at floppy disks. Mm-hmm. We thought those were going to be forever. But now I have some floppy disks on my desk at work and I just want to frame them because what am I supposed to do with them? So
yeah.
Right now, honestly, save things to the cloud. If you have photos that are so important that you would just be devastated if you lost them, do save them to an external hard drive. Have multiple locations.
Right, because things can fail.
Right, exactly. You may lose your phone and realize things haven't been backed up. So just always keep an eye on that. And having, like I said, two separate locations for the most important things, kind of like you would with physical documents. That's going to be the best thing you can do. And as technology advances, that answer is probably going to change. But for now, it's just being mindful of what you have.
Yeah, it is. And especially what you're doing, the technology just, or the thinking of how, especially, you know, we talk about just how our grandparents kept things and then our parents and now us, it is changing so much.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And luckily we live in a time where we have so much access to technology and research that we can easily say what this is doing to this object is so damaging. And one of the biggest things that shock people is the use of gloves when handling objects. So I know a lot of people are probably thinking, well, can I touch all these things? Yes, you can. So clean, wash your hands. Just use light soap. Make sure your hands are clean. You can handle your objects at home. Now, if you have something that's made of like iron, I always recommend like latex-free nitrile gloves, but you don't have to. Keep those hands clean, and that's going to help prolong the life of your objects because those oils from your hands aren't getting all over everything.
We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more with Kylie and Gayla and other topics, but we still, we could go on and on.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
For hours. Good stuff. Fredericksburg Area Museum. FAMVA.org. There are a number of programs that we're going to get into this morning, too, that are going on at the Downtown Museum. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Gayla Sims and Kylie Thompson in this morning from the Fredericksburg Area Museum, famva.org. And if you want to go to the museum, Gayla, one of the things to remember is it's free.
It is free. It's totally free. We're open every day of the week except for Wednesdays. But if you really want to come on Wednesday, just let me know. I'll open up for you. Yeah, we're free and open to the public.
To have someone like Kylie around that can that can talk about this stuff and preserve this stuff is so important because we sometimes just take it for granted.
Absolutely. She is just such a gem, and we're so lucky to have her at the museum. She's been here for
just over a year now.
Yeah, and so it's just been really fun to watch
her. A year?
Yeah, I started as a volunteer, and then I was lucky enough that they're like, we'll keep her.
Oh, okay.
And she's recently been promoted to full-time, so she's full-time at the museum, and she and I work closely together, and we're having a great time.
Well, for you to have somebody like that, because I'm sure with the museum, there's so much stuff. And not only the stuff that's out that we walk around, but there's stuff in the back room and that kind of thing. But you got to keep that. You don't want to have to say, hey, let's go. You know, we could use such and such, and you go and you find it, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
something's happened here.
That would never happen with Kylie on the case. Kylie's in charge of our whole collection, and yeah, like she said earlier, her job is to give each of those objects a lot of care and attention, despite all of their sensitivities.
Like children.
Or because of their sensitivities.
Big time.
And in her hands, the collection's very safe. I know she's been doing a lot to kind of get a sense of everything that we have, and we're really thinking about how we can show even more objects, you know, in the galleries as well.
So is it I would think there's probably a lot of stuff that you're dealing with. It's sort of the island of history.
It really is. And for those who have been to the museum, if you're down on the first floor, there's these walls of glass behind what's currently our dinosaur exhibit.
Yeah.
That's the collection back there. So that is probably about 2/3 of it. So there are other locations in the museum where we have our textiles, we have our large pieces of furniture, but it's all in the museum. And we have these huge rolling shelves that roll out to unveil just boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff.
How interesting must that be sometime just to look at that and go through it?
Oh, it's so much fun. It's like a kid in a candy shop kind of thing. Because I do the Collections Tuesday post. You can see them on our social media pages. And so each week, I just pick an object to talk about. And it's really hard when there's over 3,000 of them to choose from.
Yeah.
But some days, I'll just grab a box, reach in, and just see what I can grab. And I can't even begin to talk about everything we have because we have such a variety of things. We have very heavy, sensitive materials like the auction block that evokes so much emotion. But then we have some really fun things too, like we have some beautiful dresses from the 1870s and everything in between. We have 3 grandfather clocks.
Ooh, I didn't know we had 3.
Yeah, moving those was a was a whole thing. But, but it's just so much fun. And when we get to do inventory, we're taking out every single object, checking on it, repacking it, taking pictures of it, because eventually the entirety of the collection is going to be available for everyone to see online. It's a long project, but we'll get there.
Boy, that is a long project, but we're just talking about digitizing things, because of that, you can show things.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it's so exciting too, because we have a lot of people who come to us for research questions, which we are always happy to do, by the way. And a lot of times, some of our paper documents are just so fragile that it's really hard to bring them out constantly. Mm-hmm. So we'll just bring up the digital version, and that's preserving that document. And there's just so many ways that we can just be in touch with the community by digitizing.
So how do people send research questions, Kylie, to the museum?
Okay, so if you have a question about just any research you're doing, if you're curious about objects that you see, always happy to answer, or preservation questions, you can email collections with an S at the end at famva, famva.org, and those will go to me, and I will do my best to help you, if not, point you in the right direction.
And she also has a couple of volunteers helping her and an intern this fall, so there's lots of people who are available to help.
And very ready to help. It's such an awesome team.
I've always thought that like the back room of a museum and archaeologists, when they're digging things, with archaeologists, sometimes you think you're pulling something out of the ground and hasn't been seen or touched in maybe hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And the same, you're getting to see things in the back room that aren't out there, but they're history of this area that meant so, for that to even be in the back room of a museum, it meant something a lot to somebody years ago.
Oh, for sure. And kind of just going off what you just said, everything was important to everyone at some point. Mm-hmm. So we may just have, like for example, we have a bunch of nightgowns, old nightgowns from the early 20th century. Mm. Well, those were kept for a reason. So to us, it's just a plain nightgown, but what's the story behind that? And so if you approach each object like that, it makes you want to care even more. And I was just telling our intern, Allie, yesterday, the photo she was going through, she's probably one of a handful of people to ever see those.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there were the person who owned it, and then it went into a box for years. Mm-hmm. So it's just such a thrilling experience every time to do that. And with Gala's latest exhibit, the Lafayette exhibit, I got to handle the letter that went between the mayor and Lafayette, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah. It's easy to panic a little bit, but it's just like, it's such a privilege. And I'm so thankful every day that the museum and the objects let me be their caretaker.
I guess you two really would work together though, Gala, because when you're putting something together, you can say, do we have or do you know where we can get?
Absolutely, I mean, working with Kylie is super fun. We get along really well. But, mm-hmm. You know, I'm putting together this big African American history exhibit, Living Legacies, that'll open next year. And so Kylie has been wonderful in kind of being like, okay, these are some of the objects we have. I'm going to start doing some research on them so that we can make sure that they're ready and we know they're, you know, all of the things that we need to know about them before they go up into the Living Legacies exhibit. So it's been really cool. It's also just like a relief for me to not have to, you know, research every single thing just by myself.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun working as a team with Kylie and, of course, our educator, Teresa, who you know very well as well. So yeah. It's been really fun, but also, like, you can hear the passion in her voice. Like, she's meant to do this job. And so it's really beautiful getting to work with somebody who cares that much.
It's fun having the two of you, because you both just fit in there so well. And like you say, and even working together. Gayla Simpson and Kylie Thompson here this morning from the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Lunch and Learn, it's a great program. If you've never tuned in, the Central Rappahannock Regional Library does it every Friday. It's about noon, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's at noon. It's online, so you can watch from wherever you are.
Yeah.
They also record it so you can watch it later if you'd like. I think I've done two of these before, so this will be my third one this Friday. And
I know
I'm,
you've done one on the auction block.
Yeah, and then I think I did one on African American women's history.
Yeah, those two. Yeah.
So this one this Friday is about Harambe 360, which is an African American arts organization that existed in Fredericksburg in the 1970s, and we are kind of reviving the Black Arts Festival that Harambe 360 started in the 70s. And so we will have that at the museum and around town the first weekend in November. And so this Friday when I do my talk, I'm going to be talking about the origins of the organization and kind of what we're trying to bring back with the Black Arts Festival.
These programs, if you do miss it, you can go back. Mm-hmm. But it's a great opportunity to be, and they have a wide variety of topics and, mm-hmm. and various people from the community.
Absolutely, and you know, I mean, I've lived in a couple places, but I can really say that in Fredericksburg, we've got a really special community, and there's so many interesting people doing interesting things. I mean, Ted knows that more than anyone, but I think those lunch and learns are a really good opportunity to see what people in your community are actually up to.
Yeah, it's a great chance to see things, and if you want to get involved and get involved in the community, it is a great opportunity. So noon Friday, you can see Gayla, and you can ask questions, and the hour goes by really fast.
I know, it really does. I'm looking forward to it. I feel like I haven't, you know, been on there in a minute, and I'm looking forward to talking about Harambe 360 and the Todd family, which is who started it.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss Gayadeg Gulola's dad, Clarence Todd, he's the one who started Harambe 360.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you'll learn more about it
Friday. I'll learn more about it on Friday. You came at a really interesting time as we talk here, because I think one of the first things I remember you doing, and I don't even know that, I guess I knew you, when you did the Martin Luther King program, but it was virtual.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. That was for the local NAACP branch, and it was really fun to get to be involved with that. I went last year, too. I didn't speak last year, but it's just such a beautiful program that the NAACP puts on every year.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and it's a who's who when it's in person. Everybody is there. Oh, it was very fun.
Yeah, this
last year. It was good, too.
Senator Kaine spoke this last year, and it was really interesting. FAMVA.org, the website for the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Also, the Facebook page has all kinds of information, and you'll see Kylie's stuff that she posts.
Stuff, yeah. Collections Tuesday.
Yeah. Kylie Thompson and Gayla Sims from the museum. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, good stuff this morning with the Fredericksburg Area Museum. Kylie Thompson is the curatorial specialist. And Gayla Sims is the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. You mentioned Gayla working on the African American history thing that's going to be next year. That is just going to, I'm looking forward to it, but just the time spent on some of these bigger ones. I mean, all of these take time. We talked the last time about what it takes to just write a panel.
Yeah.
And all that goes into that. But something like this, from scratch, you're kind of putting stuff together and collaborating with the Kylies of the world and others.
There's only one Kylie.
We have her.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So that exhibit is called Living Legacies, African American History in the Fredericksburg Area. It's going to open May 30th, 2025. And I have been working on it since my very first day at the museum. We are working with a design firm called Blue Telescope. And it's been so fun. They have been so wonderful in putting together the design kind of like plan for the exhibit. But it's going to be the biggest exhibit FAM's ever had. So I'm really excited about it.
I guess so.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And yeah, it's been really fun working with Kylie to find so many amazing objects. Do you want to tell them about the cool thing you texted me about yesterday?
Oh, gosh. one of our incredible volunteers, Nancy Moore, she had come in and we sat down and we're like, you know, let's research some objects. So we have two signs from the Black Elks Lodge. It was Lodge 229 here in Fredericksburg. And these signs have names on them. And so there's one for the deceased, and I believe one was for, like, retired members. I'd have to double check that. But Nancy was able to pull up all these reports on the lodge, including information about the canteen, which was like a restaurant bar inside, mm-hmm. and there's oral histories from those who work there, and there are pictures. There are pictures of these people that we were able to find. So that is actually sitting on your desk. So as soon as you get back, it'll be there. and just to make these little discoveries is so fun because we're bringing these people back to life mm-hmm. and just giving them just this fresh new breath. And it's so rewarding.
It's wonderful. Yeah, we're having a great time.
It brings to mind, because the thing that I thought about is when Mayor Davies died, and I'm sure that people had done, I look back, I had done, and this falls into your world, Kylie. Years ago, I sat down and I had done several long form interviews with him. But at that time, I did everything that radio reporters used were cassettes.
Mm.
And you go back to, in most cassettes now, especially mm-hmm. in the 80s, it's very rare you can find anything that's you can even understand.
Yeah.
It's just all falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
But just the importance of going around and talking to the Mayor Davies and the Johnny Johnsons when we had the chance.
Yes.
To have some things and those that are left to make sure that we have what we need.
Yes, and I feel like there are people who are in Fredericksburg right now, like Miss Gaya Dagbalola, Miss Alda White, who was the first African American female attorney for the County of Stafford. Like, these people are here right now, and so we're doing everything we can to make sure we capture their stories too. It's devastating that we lost both, you know, Mayor Davies and Johnny Johnson, but I feel like they got their flowers when they're alive, and we're just going to make sure that we keep remembering how amazing they were.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. just to have, it just shows whether it's the audio of that or keeping care of documents or pictures or mm-hmm. all of this. In the future, you're able to tell stories.
Yep, we're living through history right now, so want to make sure we preserve everything we can, and that's what the museum's for, right? And we're here to help you, so you don't have to give us all your objects, although you can if you want. But, you know, we're here to help preserve all these stories so that future Galas and future Kylies can also look back and learn about what we're doing right now.
This is probably, Kylie, a totally unfair question. So I will ask you this totally unfair question, but is there anything that you have come across in your years of doing this that is just your all-time ultimate favorite?
Okay.
And you may not be able to. You may say there's too many.
I get asked this question a lot, and I've never been able to give a good answer. the other day, our coworker, Clister, and I was joking that if there was ever a fire, I'm going and I'm saving everything. Mm-hmm. She told me no. And so she's like, you can take one box. And what would that box be? And my response was, I'll get a bigger box and put a bunch of smaller boxes in that box. She also told me no. But I would say, oh my gosh, okay. There's two that come to mind. Can I get, it's a buy one, get one free. So I think one of my favorite, and it's not an object, it's a collection of objects. I feel like I can at least have that, is we have a box of sheet music from a man named Andrew Benjamin Bowering. And those who know me know I mention this man a lot. So he was part of the 30th Virginia during the Civil War, and he was the one who wrote the funeral dirge for Stonewall Jackson. We have the funeral dirge. And
no.
Discovering that was so cool because then we put it into a, I'm blanking on the name, but my musician people out there will know. I put it into Finale so then we could actually hear it being played. And so we have a digital recording of it essentially. And it just brought new life to this because Bowering was also the leader of the Fredericksburg Band. He served as the Commissioner of Revenue for 50 years. He was president of the school board at the time. So just to have this small snippet into his life that is not just written down but written in music is super interesting. Yeah. And my other favorite is we have a huge collection of things from Bond's drugstore. And I love historical medicine.
It is so
fascinating. And one of the things we have are, it's got to be probably about 40 of them. They're these rolls of labels, and they would be put on the prescription bottles. This was early 1900s. And my favorite part about this, the ones in black are safe. They're like seeds, canola oil stuff. The ones in red are poisonous, and they have a nice skull and crossbone on them. But out of all of these, only a few actually say, if something goes wrong, contact a physician, like two or three of them. The rest give you these kind of antidotes that just don't sound great. So if you ingest too much laudanum, it basically says, go get some coffee or hot water, drink it, lay upside down, and tickle your feather with a throat, or tickle your throat with a feather. And it's like, what?
Right.
And so these pharmacists were like, here you go, good luck. I'm not responsible. And I just think they're so funny. And it's such an interesting look into what medicine was, because we also have a bottle that just says poison on it. But it was medicine for a child, for like a cough. And then we also have, I'm going to hit the brakes on myself here a second. I'm not done yet. We have a bottle of like ground mustard. The mustard is still in there. And what that was used for is it was an emetic. So if you ingested this poison, they would tell you to take a tablespoon of this mustard seed to make it all come back up. So you were doing so much self-treatment at home.
Yeah.
But the pharmacists were handing you the tools. I just think it's so fascinating. So I think those are probably my favorites in the collection. If I think about this too much, my answer is going to change, because already I've thought of
four. But that was a great answer.
She figured it out, didn't she?
And just to mention that it came from the Bond Pharmacy, because you see pictures of downtown, mm-hmm. and you see that name on the building.
Oh yeah.
And so that's so interesting.
Yeah, and we have a lot from Gulrich's too. So one of my favorites is it's just Gulrich's Remedy, and it says it on the front. It's for every ailment you can think of, which I'm not sure how that works, but we'll go with it. And we don't actually know what's in it. I've been researching to try to find out what that secret formula is, because I'm very, very curious.
Sure.
But people were so trusting in these pharmacists, and they had such these reputations, like Dr. Bass too, mm-hmm. that pharmacies were huge here, and they were the place for everyone. And so just to have these tiny snippets into what that meant is just so fascinating.
Super fun.
The Fredericksburg Area Museum, for me, when, and I'm not sure if it's still up, but a few years ago, when the whites only sign,
mm-hmm.
you just looked at that, and I just remember I just stopped in my tracks.
Yep.
To actually see a sign that was one of the signs, and you looked at it, and it gave the date, and you just thought that wasn't that many years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it was from right here in Stafford County.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gonna be. We're gonna move that upstairs for the Living Legacy exhibition.
That just to me is just stunning.
Yeah, that is.
To look at that and just to think.
And it evokes those reactions daily. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important, because we can't forget this stuff. And, you know, museums don't have to all be fun. We have to. Mm-hmm. So many people went through so many hard things. We owe it to them to face those emotions. And I think that's a really fun thing about our collection, is it's so vast, mm-hmm. that we can touch so many people with it.
Yeah, and you know, I think in my opinion, I'm not gonna speak for Kylie, but I think one of the things we do really well at the FAM is we provide a safe space for people to process those emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand that these things are gonna make you have feelings. I have feelings about them. But you can do that in the museum, and we're there. We have comfortable chairs. We want to make sure that people have a chance, you know, individually or together with whoever they're with, to process that history and to think about what its impact is on our present.
Besides just doing fun things and going through and saving stuff, you've got a program, Kylie, coming up.
I do. So this program is called What Remains, Dark History. Excuse me. And What Remains is the start of a new collections-based program. And what that means is we're building programming around the objects we have. And as we've said multiple times today, we have so many that we can tell so many different stories. And so Dark History is going to explore the strange and dark and spooky side of Fredericksburg through these objects we have. And so we're going to talk about haunted objects, paintings of the past. We have some morbid news stories, some Victorian traditions. We're going to try to touch on a lot, and we have the objects to tell those stories, and I'm so excited about it.
Because it's one thing to just talk about them. It's another thing to, you know, have that object to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
And tell the story behind it.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a teaser if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
So for those who have been in the museum lately, you know, on the first floor there is a wooden coffin hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Now that coffin dates back to about 1918, around the time of the Spanish flu. It is wooden. Inside it is cotton lined, and right now it is nailed shut. And so I will put an asterisk here. It is unused. We do not have a used coffin hanging. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to take it down. I'm going to open it up for everybody so we can see the inside of it. And we're also going to have a story to go with it. So not only are we going to talk about disease in Fredericksburg and how it came through, is we have these related news stories. So in 1932 in Stafford, there was an older woman. She is about 62. She was ill. She had a heart condition. She had asthma and a lot going on. And so early in the morning on, I believe it was like a Friday, she had passed away, and her attending nurse wasn't around. They got back and they went, oh no. And so her brother went to the coroner and he said, you know, my sister just died. Can I get a certificate so I can bury her? And the coroner was like, well, I kind of need to see the body first. I can't just give you a certificate. And defeated, her brother goes, okay, I'll go find someone else. I don't want to deal with this. So he goes to her physician, who knew she had all these ailments, and her brother said the nurse was there. The nurse can confirm. Well, if you guys remember, the nurse wasn't there. Mm-mm. And so the doctor said, you know what? I believe you. Here's your certificate saying she has died and that you can bury her. So they prepare the body, they dig the hole, they do all that. And they get to the cemetery to say their goodbyes, and they open the casket so people can view it. And some of her friends had noticed she had little beads of perspiration on her head. And they were like, wait a minute. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor goes, dead bodies don't sweat. Hang on. What? And so she was deceased by this point. And they launched an investigation. And while they can't tell for sure what happened, they do believe that she is probably accidentally buried alive. And so the situation was so weird after the investigation, they didn't hold anybody criminally liable. They were just like, that was some pretty bad negligence. Let's try not to let that happen again, guys. And I hope she rests in peace now. And I hope she wasn't really buried alive, yes. But yeah. So
wow,
we're going to be telling stories like that.
Oh, I didn't know that story, but now I'm...
Wow.
What a spooky way to start our morning.
Right.
I guess it's spooky season.
That was a great story. A tragic story.
Yeah, it's so sad. But, you know, you got to blame her brother. He should have.
Yeah, what was he doing?
Right. I know it was late at night, but come on.
Yes. Kylie Thompson, Gayla Sims here from the Fredericksburg Area Museum. This has been a very interesting show on a whole lot of fronts. FamVA.org to see all kinds of things are coming up. We're going to talk about evening with an expert and wrap this up this morning with Kylie and Gayla on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Kylie Thompson and Gayla Sims here from the Fredericksburg Area Museum. We're going to go back to Kylie in just a second and talk about... We talked about her program and we talked about... when it was going to be, but that story was legendary. We'll go back to Kylie in just a second. Before we get out of here, Gail, you've got an evening with an expert is something that you do quite often, mm-hmm. and you've got another one of those coming up.
Yes, it'll be next week. So it's Whitney Stewart, who is a good friend of mine. She just published a book about slavery and southern plantations, so you can see why I'm interested in her work. Yeah. But we're really excited to have her come to the museum. So that will be on September 19th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The lecture tickets are $20 for non-members and $10 for members, and you can register online on our Eventbrite.
We should mention that you can go to the museum for free, but you can become a member, and there are all kinds of opportunities there, and it helps all these things that we talk about.
Absolutely, yeah. You can become a member, and then you get discounted tickets for our events, discounted drink tickets for Sounds of Summer, which is what a lot of people really like. But most importantly, you can support our amazing work and things like Kylie's amazing program, which is coming up, because she mic dropped us earlier, so we should just make sure people know when they can come hear more from her.
Totally. It sucked all the oxygen out of the room.
She really did.
Gail and I are just sitting there saying she was buried alive. what remains? Dark History. When is it?
Yes, I got way too excited and just forgot to give the details. It is Saturday, October 5th at 7 p.m. It's at the museum. You can get tickets through our website. It'll take you to Eventbrite, and that's famva.org. Tickets are $13 for non-members and $8 for members. And I just want to also include that, in addition to talking to objects, the program ends with a ghost tour of the museum, where you will get to meet our resident spirits and hear all about the weird things that happen. And I do just want to put this advisory out there that this program does depict violence, grief, death, and child loss that may be upsetting to some people. So discretion is advised. But if you have any questions, you can reach out.
And I know that we were joking about it, but I hope people know that we do handle these dark history, these dark stories, with a lot of care, and we take them very seriously. So we're really excited to have people in. And, you know, the museum has a lot of spookiness. So.
I was just gonna say, sometime maybe next month we do a show or to just talk a little bit about some of the weird things when you're there at night and hear things, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there have been stories over the years of that.
Many, many, many.
Yep.
So just because that was City Hall in colonial times, and a lot has gone on there.
And it was a hospital during the Civil War. We've learned some really interesting things about that era too that Kylie can tell you about next time, Ted.
We'll have to schedule another show and have you come back, Kylie. There are stories to be told here.
Oh, yes, and I would love to come back and tell them.
Well, you along with Gayla and Sam and Teresa and everyone else, the museum is so lucky to have so many people that are just passionate about this area and these kinds of objects. And it's not just a job.
It's incredible. Like, as you were saying, it just feels so important what we do, and we just love it.
Yeah, it feels like a real privilege to be the stewards of Fredericksburg's history in this way.
Well, it's a privilege to have you guys come in. And again, if you can get involved in the community, getting involved in the museum is so important.
It is.
It's a great place to be able, and it's a great place to be able to have family and friends and say, let's go to the museum. It's free. Mm-hmm. But to do that, get involved as a member. And get involved that way. So this show itself is roughly 20 years old. A first has happened today. I don't ever remember, ever, ever, ever remember a guest bringing a juice box in. And Kylie, you did that today. This is a first.
Shout out to the type 1 diabetics out there. That's my emergency, just in case. They
she
can
has
attend.
Her juice box always, always.
Yep. You never know, and I will just give it.
I thought it was great. I just looked. I haven't seen a juice box in ages. There's nothing more refreshing when you need something than to have a juice box.
Oh yeah, and it's 15 grams of carbs, which is exactly what I need if I go low, and it just tastes good. You know, you're never too old for a juice box, so maybe that's what everyone should do today.
Thank you. I liked that. I just looked at that straw and thought of having to press it in and make sure that it doesn't go all over you. And it's a great memories.
It's an object in and of itself. She did bring an object for you, Ted.
There you go.
Yes. I loved it. I sat there and I thought, I don't ever remember a juice box. And that explains it.
Yep.
Kylie. Kylie Thompson, the curatorial specialist with the Fredericksburg Air Museum. Kylie, it's great to have you here, and we will do many, many more shows and videos and things with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, and looking forward to it.
And Dr. Gayla Sims, the Vice President of Programs and Interpretation. You always have a red carpet here, Gayla. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I love coming.
FAMVA.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.